Chapter 8.
Nora comes back down into the basement. The secret door is still closed, the Balachord still sitting there. She growls, more at herself than at anything. Now she has to do something she's never been good at. She has to remember how to play the Balachord. Well, she has to remember how to play a few notes on the Balachord, because it's not like she ever had 1% of the musical talent of her husband and child. She sits down, taps a few keys, each note a melodious tone, tinged with a faint mechanical susurrus behind it. She's not making music. She's just making a mess. But then... ah! There! That's the one. That's the start of the cart and cobble shanty, isn't it? The old miner song. Nora closes her eyes, remembers her husband's hands on the keys, the way the thumb and last finger splay out, the progression of notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She takes a deep breath and plays them. The door pops open with the sound of air rushing. Relief floods in, and Nora steps up and through the doorway. Again, that smell hits her. The smell of age, of dust, of mold. The smell of a dirt clod broken in your hand, or the smell of dry and crumbling moss. The walls ahead look to be old stone. Mira used to be Nora's home, and she knows that underneath the city are the old catacombs, a city beneath a city, a maze from a much earlier time. Rumors about the maze abounded. A Jedi training temple, a Sith trap, the first dwelling of the primitive Oogteen, some slimy hut breeding ground. Stories about people getting lost down here, never found. Eaten by rancors, falling forever down into the depths of bottomless pits. Stolen by the Oogteen and made into one of them. Whatever they even are. Even ghost stories, as if the place is somehow haunted. She knows the stories. Nora hadn't known the old catacombs connected right up to her damn house. Isn't that something? She takes one step and nearly screams. Temin is sitting right there, in a small alcove, his face highlit by the blue glow of a small holotab computer. On it, a map. He quickly turns it over, and the screen goes dark. He sniffs, wipes his eyes with the back of his hand, and then thrusts his chin up as if to cover up the fact that he's been crying. Nora says, "I'm sorry."
"Yeah, me too."
She holds out her hand, and he takes it. Nora gives it a little squeeze.
"I didn't know this was here."
He looks up and around.
"The catacombs? Yeah. I got a hold of a map a couple of years back. The underground connects to a lot of the houses, especially here on Chenza Hill."
"I spoke to your aunts."
"Yeah?
They said you don't even stay with them anymore."
He clears his throat.
"No, I stay here now. I'm independent."
He sighs.
"You gonna see them while you're here?"
"No," she says. "Figures."
A spike of anger stabs her insides. Anger not at Temin, but at the two aunts. Her sister Esmel and Esmel's wife, Shireen. It's not their fault. She knows that. But she can't help what she feels. They couldn't handle Temin. And now here he is, running this shop, leading this life, almost getting killed by... who? Local criminals? Thugs? Brutes?
"I spoke to them. They don't want to leave Akiva. They're settled here, and I suppose I don't blame them."
Temin stands up, an incredulous, sarcastic grin on his face.
"Leave? What do you mean, leave?"
"Temin,"
Nora holds his hand tighter,
"that's why I'm here. I'm here to get you. We have to go."
"Go? No way. This is my life. This is my shop. This is my home. You're crazy if you think I'm gonna leave.
Listen to me. Something's happening here. The Empire is down, but they're not out. The city is crawling now with stormtroopers. The Empire is here. They've instituted a blockade and a communications blackout.
He narrows his eyes. He didn't know about that, did he? Most of Mira probably didn't, though they'll figure it out sooner than later.
Whatever. I've gotten in with some Imperials. I'll sell them stuff. I'm not worried. You should go and save your friend, Wedgie or whatever.
Wedge.
Sure.
She says,
I'm not. I heard what you said, Temin. I'm making a choice, and you're it. You're the priority. I'm taking you away.
Nope, you're not. I'm staying here. You can leave if you want, though. I'll keep doing what I've done. Survive fine without you.
She bites her lip, trying not to say all the things that are threatening to come out. He was always headstrong and willful, but this is taking it to a whole other level. Temin pushes past her, heading back toward the shop's basement, back through the secret door.
Temin, wait! I have to start loading this stuff into the catacombs. Hide it from Surratt. It's nice to see you, Mom. You can go.
She grabs his arm as he steps through the door. When he turns around, he sees what's in her hand, and his mouth forms an O of protest. Nora sticks the needle, the half-broken one she stole from the interrogator droid, into his neck. She only needs to press the plunger part of the way. Temin's eyelids flutter like butterflies in a jar. He passes out, and she catches him.
I'm so sorry,
she says. Then she starts dragging him back upstairs.